I did a small communion service for some of the people over at Merrill Gardens this morning. Half a dozen. But every so often, preaching to a congregation that small is a really good thing, you know, because there's no place to hide. I mean, you're right there with them. You're 10 feet away from them, you know. And you know, it's not like you can kind of move a little bit and somebody disappears behind somebody else's head in the congregation. You know, they're all looking at you. And if they have a question, they usually go, "Why did he say that?" And if they're smiling and happy, you know, you're on the right track with them, right? I used a different gospel, but honestly, the message is exactly the same for the Beatitudes that we hear Jesus teaching the people tonight. We gather on the one of the great feasts of our church, the Feast of All the Saints. And I think at a time in our history that we have to live in today, and a time when we gather so many of us as God's people, it's really important for us to remember that there's two kinds of saints in our church. You know, we often think of and look to the canonized saints, the capital S saints, when we have questions, when we are seeking answers about a particular problem. We look to them to be our guidance because the church has looked at their lives and determined that they are worthy of canonization and us to go to for intercession. But it's also good to remember that there's a different kind of saint, the lowercase s for the saints, and that's us. For as the canonized and great saints that we have known throughout our church's history have sacrificed greatly for the sake of the kingdom, you know, looking at just a small number of people compared to all those who have ever been or ever will be, you know, I can think of so many sacrifices that the lowercase s saints I've known through life have made. And it's astonishing. It's absolutely inspirational to look at them and the lives that they've led, you know, and come back to us to remind us that that's who we are. That's what's expected of us. I guess the days in comparison were not all that much more difficult for the people of that day that Jesus sat and taught than they are for us. They didn't have CNN to remind us how bad things were around the world. You know, they just saw what was going on in their own little world, in their own lives. You know, and Jesus begins with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Now, the world tells us that we're supposed to be happy. And then they go about telling us exactly what the world's definition of being happy looks like. And they want us to follow that. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. You know? We need to be happy when those we love are following his path. And it's in our poverty of spirit that we give to those members of our families and our friends the kind of inspiration that Jesus is telling us that is required of us. If we want to be happy, we follow him. No matter the opposition, no matter the results. The world thinks that the meek are weak. But it's in meekness that we achieve our salvation. We follow him through the greatest of trials, not by pushing our way to the front of the line or pounding on our chests and telling people how great we are and how they should be following us. But when we reach out to someone who's lost a loved one, we do it in meekness. You know, so often the greatest successes come when we just sit down next to somebody and listen to what they have to say, to let them know that they are heard and that they are loved. And that can't be done with pride. You know, the people in those conditions don't want to hear about our degrees. You know, well, I have a degree from, you know, and they told us in class that we're supposed to, you know, no. That's not the way it works. The world tells us we're supposed to be strong. Yet it's in our vulnerabilities that we let people see when the true power of our faith is released. To let people know that we're not just someone, you know, from the church, and I'm here to help you. You know, I understand where you are. Because in many times in my own life, I've been there with you. I have a small sense of the understanding of where you are right now, and I am here for you. Remember the old books that used to say, I'm okay, you're okay? No, there's not right and wrong. You know, everything is relative. You can get away with anything as long as you believe it's okay for you. No, that's not what Jesus is telling us. You know, he is telling us that we're called to be peacemakers. Peacemakers. To walk into a situation where people are truly at odds with each other and help the two of them come, those people come to an understanding. They may not become fast friends, but the peace he is asking us to bring is his life and his love that we've accepted for ourselves when we go into the situation, whatever it was that's causing agitation among family members, among neighbors, whatever it might be. Our American culture tells us that, you know, we can be happy when all those around us think that we're nice. That means never delivering the true and honest message to people who need to hear it sometimes. You know, I can't tell you how many people over the years that I've been in ordained life that are really, really upset with me because I couldn't say to them, of course you can have whatever it is you want. It's all going to be fine and the church will give you whatever you want. You know, you can't always deliver that message. You can always be loving and sit there as they attack you for being intolerant or whatever it might be. We can't always be nice. You know, that's how families fall apart. That's how children go in the wrong direction. That's how marriages break up. You never address the issues. You're always trying to be nice rather than honest and loving. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Now, it's small consolation to remember those words when somebody is yelling at you because they're angry with you over something, right? Rejoice and be glad. Your reward will be great in heaven because, as the lowercase s saint, you've kept the promise. You've lived your discipleship. Now, I truly believe that the body of the uncanonized saints, the common sainthood that we're all called to be, is at least as important to the church and the world than the body of canonized saints. People may think that's a little bit of an overstatement. Yes, the canonized saints, we can pray to them and ask them to intercede for us. St. Jude, patron of the lost cause, is one of my personal favorites. I go to him a lot and say, help me understand this and ask God to help me. But wouldn't it be a wonderful world if our own family members, our spouses, The people we work with, the people that we encounter on a daily basis will come up to one of us and say, could you pray for me? It's a shocking thing when people do that. Why would you ask me to pray for you? Maybe they see something in you that you don't see in yourself. Don't ever sell yourself short in the power that you have to help and change people's lives. And so we gather on this great feast of all the saints, canonized and common. And as a body of faith, we really need to grasp, understand, and be confident in the power that we have to be a force of positive spiritual faith in our world, simply because of who we are, baptized disciples of Christ.